Affairs Democratic Talk Radio is sponsored in part by www.algoreisourpresident.com. AlGoreIsOurPresident.com is a sponsor of Democratic Talk Radio, not because the election was a close one, nor because Al Gore didn't prevail, or even because we are unhappy with the Republican administration, which we are. Rather, we are a sponsor because we believe Al Gore did win both the popular vote and the electorate. This rightful victory was denied, however, as the final tally of votes was circumvented by the Supreme Court when they halted the legal hand count, thus giving the White House to their own personal choice for president. Democracy was dealt a terrible blow. Our goal is a simple one, to be a positive voice for those who support our truly elected president, Al Gore, to share articles, full motion campaign video, some great downloads, and a few laughs, to help us remember our president and the positive things he would have worked so hard to accomplish for us. We also offer a full line of re-elect Gore in 2004 merchandise items to keep a future Al Gore presidential run both visible and tangible, like t-shirts, bumper stickers, pins, and much, much more to come. Please visit us at www.algoreisourpresident.com. Our website, as well as the Democratic Talk Radio website, was designed by Accent Design Studios, which can be reached at www.accentdesign.com. AlGoreIsOurPresident.com wishes to thank them and you for your support of our site and all Democratic efforts wherever they may be.
And good evening. Welcome to Democratic Talk Radio. My name is Al Lawrence, and we have a very special treat on this Saturday. My co-host for today is Stuart Ruffner of Al Gore is Our President. Hey, Stuart, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm fine.
All right, out there in South Carolina, thanks for joining us on this Saturday here on Democratic Talk Radio. And, of course, Stuart, our producer of the show, and also handles our website, and also a writer, and also a pundit. Democratic activists, and gosh, the list is getting longer all the time, Stuart.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sort of a master of nothing and good at a little few things.
Okay. No, that's the time you're supposed to plug yourself a little bit there, man.
Oh,
you
gotta... I am the best.
All right, there we go. There, now we're talking. So, once again, thanks for joining us. And as I always say, every Saturday we have an awful lot to talk about.
We have a whole lot to talk about.
And, of course, the Middle East has everyone's attention. The Israeli continue their fight against terrorism as well.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's seems to be a lot of splashing around like a kid in a bathtub in the Bush administration about what, you know, pretty wishy-washy. You know, one week they go this way and next week they go that way. And why don't they just take a moderate standpoint, just like past administrations have done, where you might actually see some progress in this way.
Really, really. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed that's really distressing is that, I mean, first they're like, Israel, get out. You know, they want them to get out of the refugee camps and get out of those territories. And then it occurs to me, you know, how angry would we be if after September 11th, Israel had said, okay, you've been in Afghanistan long enough. You need to get out now.
Right. See, no one, the thing, here's the rub, Stuart, is nobody can tell us that.
Right.
We're the biggest, baddest boys on the block. We know it, and so we're going to do whatever we want and tell people what we think they should do.
Right, but we feel perfectly comfortable telling everybody else. And that's just wrong. I mean, here's the crux of this to me. Something that Bill Maher said that really stuck with me from Politically Incorrect. He said that everybody keeps comparing us to Israel and saying we're the same, you know, especially the Arabs, and they just keep saying we're the same. And we keep denying it and saying, no, we're totally impartial. But here's what it comes down to. They're right. They're absolutely right. They're a democracy. They're the only one
in the
region. Right. And we helped build them. We helped create them. So basically what this boils down to is Israel's our girlfriend and Saudi Arabia is pushing oil on us. Saudi Arabia is our pusher. And right now, our pusher is slapping around our girlfriend, and we don't know how to handle it. That's why we're so wishy-washy.
You know,
1 minute we take this hard stance to show our impartiality against Israel, and the next minute...
But we're addicted to what the pusher has.
Exactly. So we just don't know how to handle this. We're trying to play both sides, and it's not working.
Well, you know, in my view, Stuart, is we have refused to put the blame squarely on the shoulders of who's to blame here.
Right.
And that are these Arab states.
I totally agree.
And the reason is back in 1948, the Palestinian state had already been created. You know, they already have a state. However, the Arab nations at the time hornswoggled the Palestinian people into believing that if they went for all of it and tried to push Israel all the way out, that they could have it all.
Right.
And you know what, Stuart? That same argument is what the Palestinian people have been through ever since.
Right. Right. And one of the things that, if you want to prolong a war and keep violence going, what you do is you ask for something that your opponent cannot give you.
Cannot give you.
And you make that unconditional. And what they're asking for is they want the right of return. They want everything back.
They can't...
cannot have it.
You can't have the right of return. You know, they had, not even in World War II, after the huge slaughter of millions of lives during World War II, did those people get the right of return, Stuart?
Nope.
It's something... That's a very good point that you made about the right of return. That is something that is unattainable. And it's just now the really unfortunate part about this is we have an administration in power in this country that is full of a bunch of hawks.
Yep.
And that's going to get this country into a lot of trouble, and it's really going to hurt our credibility. I totally support the Israeli position because they're fighting terrorists just like we are, except they've been doing it for a lot longer.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, and one of the things that bothers me about the American point of view is that what's going on over there, the suicide bombers running into cafes, that's going to come here.
Right.
Don't think it's not going to come here. I mean, it's all just foreshadowing for things to come.
And they
view us as the exact same. We might as well be the same country as far as they're concerned.
Right, that's right, Stuart.
And if they hate them, they hate us just as much. And they proved that on September 11th.
And it's these so-called moderate Arab states that are supporting this, mm-hmm. Stuart. So-called moderate. See, we get a lot of this spin out of the media and the administration about... Even Democratic elected governments say that these states were moderate. It's just not true. They are radical dictatorships that foment hate among their populace so that they don't have to deal with their domestic problems.
So that's absolutely true. Yeah. I'll tell you who else is supporting it though. Supporting terrorism is us.
Right, Stuart. But Stuart, I'm not anti-Arab.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not.
Not at all.
Not at all. Believe
me. I'm against these corrupt regimes that support it.
The people who are really in the pincher in all this, the people who are just under absolute desperation, and the people that truly are forgotten, Stuart, are the Palestinians. Because they have been brainwashed and duped into this belief of achieving something that is absolutely unachievable.
Yeah, that's true. You just hit it right on the head. And these are poor people that
they're
manipulated.
Right, and the Arab world is to blame here. That's the cold hard truth, man. And nobody, not the administration, not the Republican Party, the Democrats, are going to come out and say it because it's not something that people want to hear.
No. You know, the Republicans, aren't they supposed to be the gurus of foreign policy?
Yeah, right.
They really don't know what they're doing here.
It's just unbelievable. You know what? What they want to do is fight.
Yeah.
They want to, now what's going to happen is they're going after Iraq. Stuart,
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Hussein is a despot, and half of me says go get him, but, you know, at this stage in time, that is really, that could just, it'll either inflame, it's obviously going to inflame things more because he doesn't have the kind of coalition that his father had.
Right.
The biggest problem here.
I'm seriously looking at this, and I'm looking at history, and I'm seeing how a little skirmish here and a little skirmish there and an assassination here started world wars.
Right.
You know, and I feel like the dogs of war are outside my door barking. You know, I mean, we're looking at something huge here because if You know, you've got Syria launching missiles into Israel, and Israel is a huge fighting force for this little bitty country, and they're completely entitled to retaliate.
Oh, they could easily take on those the armies of the region.
Right, but everybody's going to jump on Israel, and we're going to jump on them, and then Britain and France and Canada, hopefully Canada after what happened, will jump in on our side, and it's just going to escalate. It'll be huge.
Okay, all right. Now, if this is the way it's going to go, Stuart, I mean, these are being outraged about these kind of things, and that's fine. But if this is how it's going to go, then this country needs to get ready for that.
Yeah.
Because apparently this administration seems bent in embroiling us in a war. Whether or not we can get out of it, I don't know. I'm not sure that this administration is competent enough to keep us out of one.
No. Well, they don't have the guts to walk away from Saudi Arabia and the other countries whose oil we're addicted to.
Right.
Now, if we really wanted to, Russia's got greater oil capacity than they do.
Right.
We could invest in Russia and start pulling greater oil out of there. The oil that is available for up in Anwar, for example, is such a tiny, minuscule amount. By the time we got it anyway, we could be using an alternate fuel source.
It's 2%.
Right, it's 2%.
It's two.
I could get that out of a windmill. Okay,
2%.
I could build a windmill in my backyard and get that much. So, you know, that's pointless.
Well, you know, Stuart, what this country has got to do is we need to take on a mission. And I've said this many times before here on this program, and I know to some of our regular listeners it could sound like a broken record, but we must put on a mission just like we did for the Manhattan Project and the Moonshot, and we have got to find cheap alternative fuel that works now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's a book out, and I just heard of it in a flash, but it's about suppressed inventions. It's about, you know, somebody in the 60s created a way to get 90 miles to the gallon in one of the old muscle cars.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, of course, like, I think it was Daimler Chrysler, although I'm not sure about that.
I can up that one.
And shelved it.
I can up that one, Stuart. There was a carburetor made back in World War II by the Germans. That got 140 miles of gallon, 140 miles per gallon.
Wow.
No loss of power, nothing. 140 miles per gallon.
And that was an inefficient vehicle.
And back in the 40s.
Wow.
So this thing about CAFE standards, it's all horse hockey.
Yeah, see, well, I mean, some people are saying, well, you know, then we just can't have our SUVs, or you know, if we're going to drive our SUVs, then, you know, don't bitch about gas prices. But the fact of the matter is, if we were smart about these things, we could have our cake and eat it, too.
Right. And you know what, Stuart? I mean, I'm kind of sick of the combustion engine anyways. I mean, come on.
Really.
You know, I love muscle cars, and they were great when I was growing up. You know, I'm in my 40s. I had all that stuff. But you know what? I'm tired. Okay, let's move on. It's time to move on.
Right.
Are we so technologically backwards that we can't even get past the combustion engine?
Well, I have to believe from everything that's been suppressed and to continue milking humanity out of just cold hard cash, we'd probably be 100 years more advanced than we are now if corporations didn't have the ability to do what they do.
Now, that's a really good point, Stuart.
I mean, you know, we should be orbiting Alpha Centauri right now.
Right.
You know,
we colonized or terraformed a couple of planets by
now.
Right,
you know, but and even more distant in the future, the fact is that if we don't eventually spread out and escape the solar system, we won't survive anyway.
We'll consume the, unless, you know what the hope is, of course, is that technology will save us.
Right, but it's not going to save us if we keep suppressing it so we can keep making more money on
short-term,
crappy old
short-term
technology.
Greed.
Right.
Yep. Short-term greed, Stuart. Folks, we are talking to Stuart Ruffner, a producer and a website master and writer, also a political pundit, and we're awfully glad that Stuart could join us here on Democratic Talk Radio. We've been, of course, been touching a little bit on the Middle East and just about anything else that pops up under the sun today. Stuart, of course, that you know, the quagmire in the Middle East and our need for foreign oil has embroiled us in things that we otherwise wouldn't be interested in.
Right, right. We shouldn't have a vested interest in the Middle East, with the exception of our friendships and relationships there.
Because it's a holy place.
Right, right.
That, you know, I mean, it's just so ironic that the holiest places of most of the peoples of faith on the planet are right there, and it's a place of the most extreme violence.
Mm-hmm.
It's just horrific.
You know, the administration has endorsed, and I'm sure it was their idea somewhere, these new ads where they say that, you know, if you buy drugs, you're supporting terrorism.
Oh, those ones that started during the Super Bowl.
Right. They've got these kids saying, you know, I smoked a joint and I also, you know, had a judge murdered or something like that. How about the fact that, you know, we buy this oil from Saudi Arabia and various other Middle Eastern countries. How about the fact that, you know, I filled up my gas tank today, and I blew up the World Trade Center.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Let's look at the facts here.
Why don't we have some people putting on ads like that? Because Stuart, exactly why you just said, the administration and the oil companies are in cahoots to rob us of all the money we can, and the heck with the political consequences.
Yep. Yep. They don't care.
Obviously they don't. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this fix, you know? But, of course, we're also very lucky, and the reason is because gas prices are so low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the perks of all this, Stuart, is that I mean, gas prices for Americans, and we're the biggest consumer on the planet, are just extraordinarily low.
Right, comparatively.
Really. Comparatively.
You're projecting $3 a gallon this summer.
Right.
But then again, I mean, that's not much more than everybody else pays, but
that's,
you know,
that was my next question.
10 cents, everybody screams.
Is the party over? Not only are these oil companies just going to get richer, now we're going to feel the real bite of oil prices. We could see price spikes like we've never seen. That might sound like alarmist, but folks, we're at war.
Yeah, and let's be real about this. I mean, this doesn't look good for us as far as gas. We need to get off gas. That's all there is to it.
We need the kind of policies coming out of the government that are well thought out, Stuart, that aren't these shoot-from-the-hip cowboy politics.
Right.
That's what we see from the Bush administration. You know, they talk about all this experience and all that stuff. They're a bunch of hawks, with the exception of Colin Powell.
Right. Well, you know, they kept saying, or Bush kept saying, especially during the campaign, we need leadership, we need leadership. Well, leadership isn't just listening to polls. Leadership is making a stand and saying we need to do this because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
We need to get ourselves off of oil because it's the right thing to do.
And here's what we're going to do that. You know, and
exactly.
Instead of it, you know, destroying the environment, you know, the whole Anwar thing and about, you know, now we need that oil more than ever. Sure, you see, but unfortunately, that oil wouldn't even come on until 2010, and even if it's there.
Right.
Even if it's there,
which
Stuart.
They're not sure of. They just want to explore it. They want to put a bunch of potholes in it.
And kind of feel their way around for some.
Right.
They're pretty sure some's down there, but they're just not sure how much at all.
I mean, it's so antiquated. I mean, you've got scientists at JPL that are building plasma engines.
I mean,
this is the next generation of space travel here. You know, if they can build a plasma engine, you know, we put a man on the moon 30 years ago.
Surely we can find some personal transportation that doesn't cause all these political ramifications and needless death.
Right. Needless. Totally needless. I mean, you know, we went into Kuwait. I'd like to think that our motivation was to save those poor people, but it wasn't.
It wasn't, Stuart.
We went in for oil.
Right.
Pure and simple.
It was pure as an oil war. Just like this war is, Stuart, I'm sorry to say. This war, too, is, as much as it's about terrorism, it's still about oil, which is what the Arab world has used as their commodity for political influence.
Yep. I remember hearing a report, something about in early 2001, I think around May, there were oil companies that were wanting to run a pipeline through Afghanistan, and they were trying to deal with the Taliban.
Yeah.
And they were warned that bad things would happen to them if they did not allow this to happen. And
right.
they didn't let it happen.
You know what the quote was? Either accept our carpet of gold or you'll get a carpet of bombs.
Oh.
That was the quote, Stuart.
That's disgusting.
Isn't that on? This is in August, 2000, or right before 9/11.
The Taliban didn't deserve what they got.
Of course they did. They're barbaric heathens.
But, man, we don't have the right to do that.
Well, it was just bad policy.
Yeah.
It was this shoot from the hip cowboy politics again, Stuart. And it's just, that's the Bush administration, and that's why we're in this mess.
Well, it's the whole dead or alive thing.
Yeah. The Bush Doctrine. You know, parts of the Bush Doctrine, I agree with you. You know, with the exception, when he said you're either with us or against us, that, you know, taken literally, sure, it sounds good on a piece of paper and it sounds good in the media and all that kind of stuff, but the world is a pretty complicated place, Stuart.
Right.
And he's already had to bend that doctrine in a couple of instances, and I'm afraid that he's going to have to bend it even more to get the job done.
It's only going to get worse. If he doesn't have the guts to get out of there, to get out of our dependence on oil and to get out of Saudi Arabia. I mean, that's why, what's his name?
King Fahd?
No, the evil guy.
Oh, Hussein?
That's why he bombed us in the first place.
Oh.
That's why he launched this jihad.
Osama bin Laden,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm
right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm out of it. But that's why he wanted to do this in the first place, is because we were in his native land. And something that kills me about this whole thing is that, you know, we went into Afghanistan, and granted, rightfully so, but, you know, 18 of the hijackers were Saudis.
Right.
He was a Saudi.
Right.
You know, if China bombed us, would we invade Mexico? I don't think so.
Hey, this administration, Stuart, you never know. With this administration, you never know. I mean, I just don't know how they come to some of their conclusions sometimes. It just throws me. Okay, well, I don't want to spend all of our time talking about the Middle East, although we could easily do that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on a little bit. But there was one thing that I did want to tell you about move on to another subject. Well, back in July of the year 2000, remember that time, folks, way back when, almost 2 years ago, the Bush administration was almost in office, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Middle East peace talks at Camp David became the subject of a political scandal in last night when reports emerged that one of George W. Bush's foreign policy advisors had warned the Israeli delegation to be prepared to walk out of the negotiations. Richard Perle, veteran Cold Warrior and former Assistant Secretary of State, urged the Prime Minister then, Barak, not to agree to any settlement which left the future status of Jerusalem unresolved. Well, Democrats obviously completely went off their... They went crazy because the Bush administration told them to walk out of the negotiations, especially when they were dragging Yasser Arafat's kicking and screaming, though he was, to a possible settlement on the Palestinian question.
Right.
Okay. Well, all of a sudden they get this advice. Perle comes in from the Bush administration saying, hey, yeah, don't worry about it. If you guys want to walk out because you don't get what you want, go ahead, we'll cover you.
That's just horrible.
And here we are.
Yep. Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are looking at, you know, World War III.
And the shortsightedness
of the administration.
Right. Because of just a bad policy, ineptitude, and cowboy politics. Without thinking things through, and hope it doesn't get any worse, but it sure doesn't. I'm not very optimistic, but you know what? The only thing that can save him is if he's able to pull off a sweeping military victory somehow, Stuart.
Right.
You know that?
And he needs Osama bin Laden. I mean, when this first started, Osama bin Laden, he was the objective. We're going to get him, dead or alive. Here we go.
Right.
And now they're like, he doesn't really matter. We'll just push him off to the side.
Now it's all Iraq.
It's always the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, well, we didn't accomplish this mission, but that mission wasn't really that important. We just, you know, kind of said it was, but it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I've seen this administration, they accuse Clinton of waffling.
Oh, my
this
God.
This guy backtracks more than I've ever seen.
By the hour. And you know, these same kinds of things were going on during the Clinton administration as well, Stuart.
Yep.
There was an intifada called during the Clinton administration. There was terrorist bombings, young children being blown up by suicide bombers during the Clinton administration as well.
Can you imagine any circumstance in the Clinton administration where the Republicans would have rallied behind Bill Clinton?
I can't. I don't even think that they would have had this happen. I guess I shouldn't say that, but I'm not sure.
No, they would have blamed him.
I'm not,
they would have said this is all Bill Clinton's
fault. As much as I hate to say it, it seems that way, Stuart.
When the coal was bombed, when our embassy was bombed,
it was all wag the dog.
Right. There was no way that they were going to support him in any kind of military effort, especially one of even close to this scale.
But yet for 3 months after the attack here, if any American, whether or not they were a senator or a congressman, said anything derogatory about the administration, oh my gosh, we were immediately called traitors or terrorists.
Tom Daschle, he said before we, I can't quote this exactly, but I can paraphrase it. He said, before we commit any more resources to the effort in Afghanistan, I think that we should... We should know that we have a clear objective and an out, and we need an end game to this war scenario in Afghanistan.
Right.
And the Republicans, one, I believe Dennis Hastert, called him disgusting. He was called a traitor.
Right.
By the Republicans.
On the air, they did this huge media blitz in
exactly.
His home
What's
state.
What's disgusting about wanting to know where a war effort is going when the leader of the party that actually got more votes wants to know what's going on. That's
right.
All he wants to know.
Yep.
And they, it's just horrible.
It is. It is. And I tell you what, Stuart. It's people. You know, it's up to us as citizens to call our congressmen, our senators, and show Tom Daschle our support and show our dissatisfaction with the. With the Republican policy and the Republican leadership and why that they have taken these policies that have gotten us into this mess. Well, I tell you what, once again, as I said, we were going to try not to talk about the Middle East for the entire program, but it keeps dragging us right back in there, doesn't it? So, what's on your mind, Stuart? Some things you wanted to touch on?
Well, the Democrats launched their voter registration drive this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? Representative Charles Nagel of New York. He said 3 out of every 10 Americans who are eligible to vote are not registered.
Oh, that's right. That was the weekend Democratic address, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The registration percentages are significantly lower among minority groups, young Americans, persons with disabilities, and other undeserved communities. This has been a passion of mine for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, my philosophy is, if you don't vote, don't bitch.
Right.
And if you want to change things, if you care about something at all, and you can't take 5 minutes to run into a poll and punch a little thing...
Once every couple of years.
Right. Then you're worthless.
Right.
You don't deserve to complain about anything.
Right. Then just live your life and, right, go to work and do your thing and don't complain about nothing. Don't complain about your taxes or anything else.
And the Republicans will do whatever they can to make it as difficult as possible to register a great number of people, because the fact of the matter is, it is inherent in conservatives to vote. They've pretty much got probably 90% of their voter base already voting.
Right.
It's just inherent in the Republicans to go out and vote. While the Democrats, we have such a great broad and frankly wonderful spectrum of diversity
and inclusion,
right, but we include everybody. I mean, our people are everybody from you know, a black minister
to even extreme right wingers. If they want to be a Democrat, they can register in the same, you know, but and
they're welcome, and their
right.
their point of view is taken seriously.
Right. Look at Bob Novak.
Consider it. Right.
Registered Democrat.
Chris Matthews, registered Democrat.
You never know what to listen to him talk.
Nope.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break up your thought pattern.
No, that's fine.
Well, you're right about the Democratic Party, and if we can get out the vote, you know, get people registered, a registration drive that this country hasn't seen in a long time. I tell you what, Stuart, the Democratic Party will be back in power. And let me tell you something, the Democratic Party is the party of fiscal responsibility.
They really are. There's no question of that. I mean, it's like that Bill Clinton said that he had this talk with Newt Gingrich and some other Republican leaders in the White House, and he basically, it was after they started really slamming him, and he just basically said, "What the hell? What are you doing this to me for?
Why? What's the deal?"
And they said, "Look, we can't argue with you. We can't beat you on the issues. You're right." I mean, it infuriated them that they took, like, welfare reform, which was a Republican issue, and he fixed it.
Yep.
He did something about it,
right.
And that made him mad. And they said, "We can't beat you on the issues. We can't argue with you because you're right, so we have to demonize you.
And they have
to turn you into the devil."
And so then that's what they did and destroyed him.
Yep. Well, no, I don't think
I'm
so.
Not,
if he had run again, if he had been able to run again, he would have won.
Yeah. Stuart, you know what I've been hearing? And I just love this. I do. It gives me a chill. I know it'll never happen, but I love people that they're talking about it. You know how that there's a constitutional amendment that there can only be two terms for president?
Right.
Well, you know why that is, don't you?
Because of, the Republicans did that because
FDR. Because of FDR, exactly.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, and at the time they had power. And see, what happens is after a war, the party in power tends to lose seats, and they tend to get hammered after a while. And that was a pretty big war in World War II, the Democrats got hammered after that, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially in the Congress and the Senate. And, well, what they did was they went Republican for a good while and got this amendment through. And it was just mainly because of FDR, and that's the only reason. There's a couple of people around Capitol Hill that are just circulating the rumor that to try to repeal that amendment. To get Clinton back in for another term.
That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. I would feel so much better, and I think the country would.
Of course
really
they would.
Really would if he were back in there.
Of course
you can. You trust the way he handles things.
That's right.
One thing that that I've never heard anyone say negatively about him is that he ever put financial interests or, frankly, personal interests ahead of the good of the American people.
Right.
He may have had his
personal foibles.
I don't necessarily even consider them faults. I mean, because we don't know what his life is like personally.
Right.
So, you have no idea what the Clinton relationship is like. So that's none of our business.
And besides, we were talking about a consensual relationship,
right,
Stuart.
Between two adults.
Right.
So the whole, what am I going to tell my children?
Yeah.
Tell them to grow up.
And tell them nothing. Tell them to mind their own business.
Right.
Get back and do their homework.
And then mind your own business yourself. But, I don't mean to sound so harsh, but
that's
the way it really is. That's life. And you can blame your conservative press for telling your children about that.
Mm-hmm. And all it was just the biggest nationwide smear campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Paid for by the GOP, the party of greed, oppression, and propaganda.
Greed, oppression, and propaganda. Look how much money they spent investigating this.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're rehashing old stuff.
We're rehashing some old things, but I tell you what, see, it's not going to go away because the next time we get a Democratic president, and we are going to get a Democratic president, the next time they're going to try the same tactics because they work, Stuart.
Right. They always work. They demonize you. And that's the only way they can win, because
right.
They're wrong on the issues.
They don't have any issues.
Nope.
The only issues that they have is the trickle-down economics theory. And you know what? Sure, that's great if everybody was included.
Right. They keep slapping a new label on it. Trickle-down economics became compassionate conservatism.
Right.
And people bought into it.
What, right.
And they're going to buy into it. What are they going to call it next time?
Mm-hmm.
Trickle-down really is rich people peeing on your head. That's what trickle-down
right.
is. And,
Stuart, before I went to college, I used to be one of them. I bought right into it, man. I was a Reagan supporter, man. I'm not kidding you. I know you know me pretty well, and you're kind of scratching your head going, huh?
Right. Well, Bill Clinton is our Reagan. You know, he is our, Bill Clinton, you know, for the Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand, you know, Reagan was a hell of a communicator.
Oh, he was.
And he was, he had a very powerful presence.
Right.
Of course he did. He was an actor. You know, how ironic. How perfect for that role.
They picked the perfect one, man.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. But,
well,
girlfriends that thought, ooh, Al is so sexy in that beard, you know. They're like, but it's gone, unfortunately, so, but he's back on his game again, and rightfully so. We really needed him.
Yes, and I am just, and there's a great many Democrats out there finally putting up a good fight, it seems. They're finally starting to get their back up, I guess you could say. Some of them are President Gore, he's been waiting legitimately because I know that he's going to run. I don't know that, I mean, personally, but I just have this gut feeling that he's going to run big time.
Right.
Okay, well, right. I knew that he would wait until the right time for him, but there was a lot of other Democrats that were pretty spineless on this entire issue, especially since the election, in my view, Stuart.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're starting to, they found a spine recently, and some of them are starting to come out and take their shots, and I'm glad of that.
Well, frankly, I think look what was happening to the ones that did stand up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you talk about martyrs.
Yeah.
You know, they were becoming martyrs.
Tom Daschle, right.
Yeah.
Pat Leahy, right.
I mean, this thing happened in 94, too, where tons of Democrats in the House and Senate, they lost their seats because they stood up for a principle and they voted for the
tax
the
increase.
Clinton, right. They voted for what was right instead
right.
of what was popular.
And you know what that did? That balanced the budget and gave the banks and the Federal Reserve credit, and then the economy took off.
Right. And it all came from those Democrats. You don't see Republicans who stand up and sacrifice their seats for something.
Nope.
It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
But, you know, that's why we're Democrats.
And I tell you what, and what this is about is that they've been able to control the message. And that has been our Achilles heel, Stuart.
Yep.
You know, that's been the part that has stopped the Democratic message from getting out and resonating with the people. Although the message of the Democratic people has also come from the people because they need the kind of things and the kind of policies that Democrats promote.
Well, look at
and pretty soon the two ends are going to meet here, and the Republicans know that they are in for a world of hurt.
Oh yeah. Well, one simple example of this is the prescription plan under Medicaid or Medicare. That's never going to happen now.
Nope.
And Bush never wanted to do that, ever. He was forced to because it was a popular issue.
It's the only way he got elected.
Right. Gore said, I'll do something about it. I can do it. And
but you see, Americans knew that Democrats would do something about it, Stuart.
Right.
They believed George Bush in saying that he was going to, but you know, they believed him. See, they knew that if the Democrats, that if Gore got it, that we would do something about it, because we are
right.
the party of the people.
Right. We are the people that actually do what needs to be done.
Right. And time again, and unfortunately, it seems that, you know, the Republicans are so good at putting out their spin and their message that it gets them into office and they're able to screw things up really good for several years, and we got to come by and fix everything again.
Right. Well, what do they say? The economy hit the recession, they said that, you know, it takes about, you know, 6 or 8 years for policies to coalesce and create a recession. They were using that to blame Bill Clinton.
Unreal.
But by that philosophy, then...
We should be in a huge economic expansion.
Well, but also by that philosophy, though, then Ronald Reagan's policies created the one that George Bush Sr. had to go through.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, where's the logic there?
Right.
It's like, well, we know they can't do math.
Yeah.
You know, them and their fuzzy math. So.
It's one lie after another, Stuart.
Yep, yep. Fuzzy math for a fuzzy brain.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do?
Well, you know, the local elections are coming up, folks, and here's what you do is you go down and get yourself into the polling booth and make the right choice.
And you pull a lever.
That's right.
You pull a lever on an old broken down, antiquated machines.
Yeah.
That we're trying to get fixed.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
The bill did pass, though.
It did pass, and it's you know what, Stuart? It's not a bad bill, really.
It's a start. It's
yeah.
a very good start. Eventually, I mean, all you really need, I shouldn't say all you need, because I'm sure it's expensive, but what you really need in these places, you need big words, and you need touch screens and say, I want to vote for this guy. Are
yeah.
you sure? Yes. Are you absolutely sure? Yes.
You know,
once
Stuart,
they do that, this won't happen anymore.
I think they could have spent $10 billion. And you know what? In annual budgetary terms, $10 billion is not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money.
And it would have been a one-time thing. It would have lasted us for the next 10 or 15, 20 years.
Yep. I just want to say, for God's sakes, people, get out there and vote. You know, even if you're not going to vote Democrat, just get out there and use your God-given right to vote. You know, be heard. Stand up. And if you don't, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Because it doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean nothing.
If
I agree with you.
If you stand up for 5 minutes and do something about what you believe in, then you're worthless to me. And you're worthless to America. And I don't believe that about these people. I don't believe that Americans are about that. So please, just make an effort.
Right, and a part of it is because people feel that I think part of it is because they make the process, you know, although it isn't difficult and it takes a very little time, they should be making it a lot easier, Stuart.
They should.
Because, and just like you touched on earlier, the Republican Party has time and time again tried to stop people from registering, not really stop them, but make it more difficult and put up obstacles.
Don't you want to ask them why?
Why? Because they're afraid, that's why.
Because, you know, only, as far as they're concerned, only wealthy white male landowners should vote, apparently.
Yep, apparently, that's right. That's right.
God, it's terrible.
Hey, something else I wanted to ask you, I didn't get a chance to. I know you've been really busy and you probably don't get a chance, but have you happened to read Stupid White Men yet by Michael Moore?
No,
number
I love
one,
Michael Moore, too. He's a hero.
It's the number one bestseller, you know. And you know what the first page says?
What?
First page of the number one bestseller in the country says, George W. Bush is not the president of this country.
I love Michael Moore.
Al Gore is the legitimate elected president of this country, and anybody that doesn't believe that had better pull the gum out of their head.
I'm going to go buy this book on Amazon right now. That's www.amazon.com. I'm going to go and buy it.
I urge anybody out there, you can go to any bookstore, go online, and get Stupid White Men by Michael Moore, and it is just hilarious. I read the book a couple of weeks ago, and it's just, not only is it funny, it's scary, because he's almost right on the nose on just about everything.
I've
and you know what, Michael Moore is an independent too, Stuart.
Yeah, I did know that. I've never seen him be wrong, though. I've never heard anything. See, Democrats even accept independents. I mean, even if you're not a Democrat and you're an independent, we still take you.
Of course.
We accept you. We work with you. Look at Jim Jeffords. You know, I mean, Jim Jeffords is like a folk hero in the Democratic Party, and he's not even a Democrat.
I know.
Because he has the... And we respect anybody that's got the guts to stand up to the Republicans for something they believe in. You know, McCain. McCain he's certainly a Republican. Some of his views are not in line with the Democratic Party,
right.
But a lot of them are.
Right.
And he's almost a folk hero to a lot of us because he stands up to his own party.
Well, you know why? Because he's of the Republican Party that John Gardner came from.
Right.
You know, you remember who John Gardner was? I mean, he was a Republican that started Medicare, for crying out loud.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, the Republican Party is morphed. I mean, it's not what it used to be.
Oh, it's not even nothing like it used to be.
Liberal Republican.
Right, Stuart. And see that's another part of their BS message too. Is that they're putting out that they still are that party and they're not.
Yeah, this is well, what was it I saw on Saturday Night Live? She was talking about killing all the funding for Planned Parenthood overseas. And it was like the Weekend Update. And she said, and that brings the tally to conservatism, 73, compassion, 0. That was great.
That's really good. Funny. Who was that?
I can't remember her name. The woman that anchors it now.
That's funny.
SNL, she's great.
Yeah, that is funny.
I got something else I want to touch on.
Okay.
Something's really pissing me off.
Fire away.
Since I'm talking to a liberal crowd, I can say this. People, go out and buy Rolling Stone this week.
Okay.
And I know Ozzy Osbourne's on the cover, and he's freaking me out, but...
He's a freaky-looking dude, man. I've seen him in concert, so...
Oh, Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Boy, that was back in the day. But there is an article in there about the Columbia plan and the defoliation that we're doing. So basically, it's not... The United States isn't really doing this. They're paying... A contractor who subcontracts again.
Oh, we're bankrolling it.
Right, we're just bankrolling it. We're paying like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to Dynacorp out of Virginia.
Yeah, and I've heard of that company before.
Right, and who they're paying are basically they're paying a company called East.
You know, some huge Republican donors are on the chairmanship of Dynacorp, Stuart.
Really?
Yes.
Why does that not surprise me?
Go on.
Well, the people that are flying the planes they're basically spraying Roundup is what it is over all of these coca fields. Which, you know, it has some merit, but they're paying these people. These are the same people that ran guns and black ops during the Iran-Contra scandal. And all of this is in this article. So please go out and buy that. Educate yourself on this. You need to know about this.
So they're destroying the rainforests.
Right. Not only are they spraying, I mean, because they don't care. They're just spraying indiscriminately.
Indiscriminately.
I mean,
and
killing people's... And legitimate crop.
This is part of an part of the ecosystem of the planet that we can ill afford to be getting rid of.
Well, we're also accelerating the destruction of it, not only by spraying certain parts of it, but when we go and spray a coca field that won't grow coca,
doesn't grow anything else either.
So immediately, what do? They go and knock down a hell of a lot of the rainforest and grow coca there. I mean, and here's the thing, though. This all initiated. Late in the Clinton administration, the president of Colombia came to Bill Clinton and he said, look, I've got this plan that's going to help everybody. He said, I need some money to do it, and here's what I want to do. We need to give these people a financial incentive to be able to grow other things. Because these are some dirt poor people that are paying for their children's education with coke.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that we are destroying their country because of our habits.
It's almost like tobacco growers here.
Yeah.
You know, with the exception that we have a better standard of living. But, I mean, here's this horrific product, tobacco, that is, you know, the only difference is here it's legal, and cocoa is it legal down there to grow it? No, obviously not.
Apparently not, but
okay.
There's no enforcement. Well,
very little enforcement.
Legality is a technical term there.
Right.
Because they've got a huge communist movement that has a military the same size as the Colombian government.
Wow.
That is able. I mean, they've taken down two of our Black Hawk helicopters.
So once again, we're just making things worse down there. Right.
Right. And we've pumped. Basically, what they did was this guy came to Bill Clinton and he said, look, we can do this. It'll be great. And what happened? It hit Washington bureaucracy, and we immediately Americanized this plan. This plan would have done wonders.
Had it been kept small and independent?
Had it been kept the way it was, we took all the money and we wanted to allot for Colombia, and 6% now of the budget for it goes to Colombia. All the rest of it goes to contractors here. We're sending down $13 million apiece Black Hawk helicopters, state of the art.
Wow.
What we've given them to use is we've given them old refurbished Vietnam era helicopters.
Bunch of old Hueys.
Right,
yeah.
To do what they can do. But we've got the Black Hawks down there that are running air support for these little bitty biplanes that the Iran-Contra mercs are spraying with.
You know, Stuart, it seems like our South American policy, you know, it's... Boy, the banks and all the credit, you know, it seems like that's going to come back and to haunt us one day because, you know, we've kind of exploited that area.
Our foreign policy is horrific.
It's based upon exploitation, it seems like, in many respects.
In any way that we deserve what happened September 11th. in any way. I want to make that clear. But the reason that they hate us is because we don't know why they hate us. You know?
Well, because if it's our exploitation.
We're imperialistic.
Right.
We really are.
Although we deny it, and, you know, we'll tell ourselves in the mirror that we're not, because we'll rattle the Constitution and all that.
Right, and it's not the average American person's fault insofar as they don't see it.
It's
what they see is America's great,
American. But what they're seeing in policy is large corporations lobbying American policy to exploit other people.
They use America's might to make Nikes by four-year-olds. I mean, it's just really sad.
And it's no wonder that we see all these huge demonstrations all over the world that are fighting globalization, when actually globalization was started to raise people up, Stuart.
Right.
And now it's become something that has rallied people to fight it, because those people realize that only the rich are going to benefit from globalization.
Well, Bill Clinton was the first American leader that anybody overseas had any respect or really genuine like for. And that's all gone to hell again. I mean, they hate Bush,
right.
Rightfully so.
Yes. Because he's incompetent.
Right. He may be quote-unquote president here, but overseas, he's an emperor.
Yeah.
And that's how they see him. Empire of the United States.
I'm sure George W. Bush is a swell guy to sit around with and watch a Rangers game and, maybe play, watch the hockey. But
yeah, do some coke, apparently, or drink a
Folks, we don't need this man as president of the United States. I'm sorry. It's getting us into a lot of trouble.
Or if you want to pull frat pranks, if you want to go over to the Delta Phi house and, paint it pink.
Right.
George Bush is your guy.
He's a guy's guy, Stuart.
But, I don't want him
I don't want him running the country.
I don't want somebody whose finger's on the button that can't say nuclear.
Yeah.
Okay?
If he nuclear. You know what he says?
Nuclear. If he says that one more time,
I'm glad you brought that up. That's right.
Before he kills me, I don't want to die in a ball of flame over a syntax error.
Unbelievable.
It's just really scary.
It is.
I'm
laughing out of fear, Stuart.
Really? Yeah, it's so scary. It's funny.
Yeah, it is. Hey, so before we go, because we're just about out of time already, this hour is just really hurtled by.
Yes,
what have you been up to lately?
Nothing.
And just, just to...
No, actually, the site's been really busy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that www.algoreisourpresident.com. Every time Gore makes a speech, our orders for T-shirts, bumper stickers, and pins, they just hit the roof.
Great.
And so we've been doing an amazing amount of business. And I don't know who knows if it says it up at the site, but of course, a large portion of the profits are held back for a donation to Al Gore, or his, frankly, to anyone that gets the nomination.
Well, I tell you, Stuart, it's going to take a Democrat of a very large magnitude to try to take away the nomination from Al Gore, because I really think that, the Democrats have always been kind of quiet, but I think that there's an undercurrent of support for this man that not even people like ardent supporters of his, like you and me, realize.
No.
Because of the way he was treated throughout that entire process, and everybody knows he won.
Well, like 16% of his press was positive.
Yep.
That's it.
I know it.
The rest of it was like, Al Gore's a liar, and Al Gore makes stuff up, and Al Gore,
That was all spin.
You try running his schedule with half his intellect and see if you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was overworked. He was exhausted. While you got W, who's going to bed by 9 o'clock, that always shocked me. One thing that the Democrats always said, and Bill Clinton started that huge no-sleep hustle there at the last days of the campaign.
Right.
And, of course, Gore did it as well. And, Bush is going to bed at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, and that's that's his hustle.
And I see him, in booties carrying a Curious George stuffed animal to bed with him at 9 o'clock.
I know
it.
And here we are, and we're at a point in our country with foreign policy and economics when we need a leader more now than ever.
Right.
Stuart, and this is what we have, and it's just, it's alarming,
it's
frankly.
Scary.
It is.
It's very scary.
Stuart, we are out of time.
Of course we are.
Our time is up for today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I enjoy talking to you very much, and I know
I could go another 4 hours.
I know it. I know our listeners enjoyed it very much as well. The phone's been ringing a lot here at the studio while we've been talking, so I know folks have been calling. Once again, we've been talking to Stuart Ruffner of Al Gore's Our President. Definitely check out his site, and we hope to see Stuart. We'll have Stuart back on again real soon. I'd like to thank you for co-hosting.